And it's a little summary of the Christian faith, which we should all know. And it's very, very helpful. If you were having a rebranding exercise, lots of firms do this, don't they? They have a rebranding exercise. They refresh the company and they give it a new image. You could come up with a symbol, perhaps, for Christianity instead of this one. What could you have? You could have... Sorry? Did you say to me, Wendy? Oh. Chicken. Is that what you said, chicken? A tick instead of a cross. Right, okay. An egg. You could have an egg, couldn't you?
A smiley face.
A smiley face. Smiley face, an egg.
A pan.
A what?
A pan.
A pan.
Pam.
Pam.
Yeah, palm.
P-A-L-M. A palm. You knew what you, yeah? Well, there's a... They talk a very strange language north of the border. It can only happen at St. Mark's, couldn't it, really? It can only happen. I was thinking when Vera introduced the reading, you know, there's only one church in Bedford you could go to where they introduced the reading with, "It's lovely to see you all." Amazing. But there you go. No, well, we don't have a rebranding exercise. The church has thought about it for many, many years, but it's never, ever, never, ever thought that it could rebrand what is our essential symbol, which is the cross. And mysteriously, I didn't have this in 1999. We now have pictures. So, which are displayed. And the reason why we have a cross, I'm going to give you three reasons why the cross is a really, really good symbol for Christians. We're not exactly sure what shape the first cross was that Jesus died on. Different parts of Christendom have different shaped crosses. Some of them have two bars. Some of them, you've probably seen a cross like that, haven't you? Come on, this is your big opportunity. Scottish cross. The saltire. The saltire, St. Andrew's cross. We don't know exactly what shape it is, but the first thing about the cross that it teaches us is that, God made the world beautiful. And we know that from that Christianity has a lovely little story about God making a garden. It was all beautiful and God looked at the world and it was good. We had a beautiful world. And if you look at our world, it is beautiful. And in our faith, we appreciate the world as Christians. We're not a faith that thinks you should escape from the world in some kind of spiritual exercise. We actually value flesh. We believe that Christ took flesh, became human. And in our service a little bit later on, we'll have bread and wine, where we take things of the earth and we say that they're really important, that they can give us an important spiritual insight. So we believe that the world's really, really good and that God created it beautifully. And yet we also believe that something went terribly wrong, that we messed it up. I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning this last week. Corin convinced me that we should watch Noah on the telly. Have any of you seen the BBC programme? I thought it was one, episode of a big programme. It's a whole thing in one, isn't it? It just went on and on and on. But one of the things that the Noah story tries to teach us is that whilst God made the world beautiful, we messed it up. We made a terrible mess of it. And this is a cross. And you sometimes used to get these on your exercise books in school, did you? Yeah. Apparently, some schools don't put crosses on exercise books anymore. Did you know that? No, because it's a negative thing. They put you do. Yeah. Speak to Corinne afterwards. Some of them put little dots now, apparently, so you can think about it. But a cross teaches, the first thing that it teaches us is that there is something dreadfully wrong with the world. No matter how beautiful God made it, no matter what good things he gave us, no matter what produce there is in the world, to allow us all to eat and to feed, we do something wrong. We mess it up so that people go hungry. No matter what gifts God gives us, we use them for bad purposes. And this isn't something that just happened long ago in a garden in Eden. This is something that goes on every day. Every day we mess it up and we make mistakes. And one of the things we have in our service every week is an opportunity just to say, look, we keep getting it wrong, and we come to God and we acknowledge the fact that we make mistakes. So the first thing that the cross teaches us is that although we've got a beautiful world, although God gives us great gifts, we make terrible mistakes and we get it wrong. So that's the first thing about a cross. Second thing, Jim. Yeah, here's another cross that you have. Some of you might have put this with your Easter eggs or something this morning, little crosses to people. There's your little Easter egg, and I love you. And you put a cross. You'd think that God would be really, really angry that he gives us good things and we turn them into bad things. And you'd think that God would sort of want to just be really, really angry. But the amazing thing that the cross teaches us is that the cross is a sign of God's love, not of his anger and frustration. You know, God isn't like a heavenly Steve Gerrard who gets upset and stamps his feet. God is a compassionate, loving God. The Bible tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not because he was angry, but because he loved. And the cross teaches us that God has this huge love for the world, a huge love for each one of us. And Jesus, in his teachings, kept reinforcing this over and over again. Remember, he told that wonderful story about the prodigal son, the son who goes away and does lots of stupid things, spends all the money, lives a riotous life. And what does God do? He just welcomes him with open arms. And, you know, whereas we'd be pressed behind, why have you spent all my money? Why have you... Blah, 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 or being like the jealous son. Oh, he's always getting all the shit. God just welcomes us and embraces us. The deep sinners, the Zacchaeuses up the tree, who are frightened to come near Jesus because they know they've led dissolute lives, Jesus says, come on, I'm coming to your house for tea. I'm your friend. And Christ, the friend of sinners, is constantly repeated throughout all of our hymns, our Bible readings, all of our teachings, that Christ loves us and cares for us, no matter the fact that we went wrong. And this is really, really important. Now, very shortly, I think it's 32 days' time, something's going to happen. And we're all going to be doing another kind of a cross, aren't we? So, Jim, come on, let's... There you are. There you are. Vote yes. We're all going to be voting. And you can go along and you can put your cross next to a name. And if you're lucky, you might be able to change a government. Because you can use... I don't mean that the current government is any good. You need to change it. You can decide on the kind of government. You can decide on the kind of government that you want. That's what the cross does. It allows you to vote. And a cross is important for us. Because, you know, it's no good just coming and listening to the teachings that we have or singing the hymns that we have. The cross is about deciding for yourself. It's about saying, okay, I know that things went drastically wrong, and I know that I'm drastically wrong, and I know that Christ loves me, but I'm going to do something about that. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. The cross isn't just for Jesus. The cross is for us. It's about us deciding on a way of life. And so when you take up the cross, you decide not just to change a government, because all that governments can do is govern. You can decide to change your life. And that's the amazing thing about Easter. It gives us all the opportunity for change, for difference in our lives. As we vote, and it's not just a once in a lifetime thing. This is something we do on a daily basis. We take up our cross and we decide to follow Jesus because he is the risen Lord who's conquered even death itself.